Tervetuloa jälleen Pohdimme yhdessä koulutusjohtajuutta podcast-sarjan pariin. Tänään meillä on haastateltavana kasvatustieteiden maisteri Mailis Elomaa, joka on juuri väitellyt kasvatustieteiden tohtoriksi. Väitöskirjassaan Mailis on tarkastellut kasvatus- ja koulutusalan johtajien työnkuvaa ja työhyvinvointia suhteessa työhön kohdistuviin vaatimuksiin, resursseihin ja vuorovaikutusverkostoihin. In today's episode, we will speak in English because Mailis comes from Estonia. Welcome, Mailis. It's a pleasure to have you here.
Yes, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
At first, would you tell briefly who you are and what is your background?
Indeed. If I start from when I was moving to Finland, it happened 9 years ago. When my husband was moving here to central Finland. So I thought that, well, the Jyväskylä city is a place to live also. So after moving to Jyväskylä, I started my studies in the international master's program in education in University of Jyväskylä. And then soon after that, I started my doctoral studies. And it was about 5 years ago. So now I just defended my doctoral thesis, which has been a long and emotional journey.
Yeah, okay, thank you. Your dissertation's title is Educational Leaders Occupational Well-being with Cool Head and Warm Heart. What brought you to the topic?
That's a good question. So if I remember when I got a chance to research on educational leaders' occupational well-being 5 years ago, I didn't have much background on educational leadership. I had been working in a school as a leisure time manager in Estonia, organizing every kind of school activities and inside and outside the school. So when I got chance to do research on educational leadership within the DESI project, which is a bigger project, then I thought few days I took some time to think about it, and did some research, and it seemed to me that educational leaders, this kind of work and well-being is not searched much, both in international and in Finnish context also. So and often the research was about the expectations, for example, that we have towards educational leaders, but not so much about their perceptions and their experiences. So I think that the main thing why I got interested then doing research on their own perceptions was that there's often placed a lot of expectations on the leaders, but I saw leader as a person also who's going home, who needs support, who gets stressed also. So basically that was how I ended up with doing research on their own perceptions, and I wanted to bring out their own voice about their experiences.
Okay, that sounds very interesting. Could you tell us a little more about research?
As also proven in international and Finnish context, educational leaders' work is stressful, more stressful than they're more stressed than general population, and the same, and the, it shows a growing trend. So the general aim of my work was to investigate their perceptions of their occupational well-being and their work as a leader. So my thesis were three sub-studies in my thesis, and altogether 18 kindergarten leaders and then 76 primary school principals were participating there. So the first sub-study was about kindergarten directors' occupational well-being and their stress experience, coping strategies and other elements and factors related to their occupational stress experiences. And then I moved to school principals. The second sub-study was about their coping strategies, stress experience again, and what kind of support they need for their leadership. And in third study, I concentrated on the work prescription of leaders. So what are the elements of that, and which elements are experienced as demands, and which are experienced as resources, for example.
Okay. So what are the key outcomes on your research?
Yes, I think that there is three main outcomes. I think that from the, as I mentioned in third sub-study, this kind of bringing out multidimensional description of leaders' work is something that hasn't been done before. And I described the leaders' experience with different elements through the ecological systems theory, which means that the leader was placed in the middle of five related circles. So in the first circle, there would be the everyday interaction, and then moving further to other, and which other elements with which, for example, leader with which leader experiences that the interaction is one-sided. So and finally, all the interaction with the elements is influenced by, again, the leader's own work history and life history and so on. So, and then what was interesting there was that some elements can appear under different systems. For example, superior, when experienced that the interaction is supportive, so they belong to the first system, so that there is a close interaction with the superior. But the same person is experienced as demand when the interaction is one-sided. And there is no support from superior, for example. Then second outcome would be maybe the description of all the demands and resources education leaders experience in their work. And finally, at least I tried to offer some practical suggestions that by whom and how that the education leaders' occupational well-being could be supported. I have to mention here that I didn't make those up. Those suggestions are taken from the real people, from the principals' interviews, for example, or from the answers to questionnaires.
Okay. Yeah. What kind of elements are experienced as demands causing stress and workload to educational leaders?
It depends. Of course, it depends of a context and depends of a person also. But when starting from, for example, the ecological systems that I mentioned briefly when describing their work. So it seems that the most extensive demands are related to interpersonal relationships and interactions between different stakeholders. As an example, I could bring like for example problems that arise between teachers at school, or between students and teachers, or students and teachers and the guardians or parents. So I think the reason for that, that why those are experienced as so stressful, is that that when they finally come up to principal's table, this is highly emotional situation. So to where the principal's him or herself is not straightly connected. And then also so some demands are, for example, dealing with elements or issues principal cannot influence. For example, lack of resources or which they can't control, like things happening in society or old school premises, for example. Because you are working in a school, if you don't have resources, you have to work with the resources you have. And then some of the other job-related demands are, for example, workload and availability of time, which was mentioned a lot.
Because
it seems that leaders don't have time to concentrate on the relevant tasks, as for example, pedagogical leadership or meeting teachers and students at school. And because, for example, paperwork is taking too much time away from them. And also resources, of course, are demanding, lack of resources. Then social interaction, as I mentioned already, and then also publicity for somebody. For example, when going on, one principal was bringing out an example that when going to the shop on Friday evening to, for example, buy some soft drinks for a sauna or something, then in a smaller municipality, there is already some guardian or student's relative there, definitely there in the shop, and they look like, well, what kind of evening that is going, or something, or whatever. So you are like, or going to training, for example, or to the gym. So, because they are pretty well known in a local community. And in addition to the job related demands, there is also personal demands. For example, internal pressures such as beliefs and nature or feeling of inadequacy, and also the balancing work and private life. But the situation is not always desperate, I might say. That what is important is that those demands should be balanced with the resources. So some of the examples of resources that leaders were bringing out are, for example, job-related resources or social capital inside of the school and also outside. Pre- and in-service training. For example, availability of that, and then also because challenging student affairs are something that are causing a lot of stress for principals. So the cooperation with the social workers and police, for example, to solve those. And then there is also personal resources which can be mostly found in outside of the school context or from the work context. For example, having an outlet outside of work, hobbies, meaningful social relationships, separating that private and work life, and also the responsibility of taking care of own well-being, just the way, because we are all different, so there is no this rules that something works for everybody. And also humor is something that principals were bringing out, that through humor they can manage a lot, many demands. And also bringing out this personal nature of the experience, of principals or leaders work. It's like some of the elements, for example, school context can be seen as a demand. If it's for example, challenging socio-economical context or the old school premises, for example. Mm. But on the other hand, the school context can be seen as a supportive element. If it's a new school or positive environment, and so on. Mm. So it's almost impossible to say that this element belongs to demands and this one to resources. Mm. But I have been just. Those that I brought out were mentioned as demands or resources then by the leaders themselves.
Yes. Very, very interesting and many, many factors. So how educational leaders' well-being could be supported and by whom? How can they be affected? And can you list some concrete examples?
Concrete. I can of course list concrete examples, but what works for one doesn't work for the other because those demands are different, and also for example also those demands and resources needs to be in balance. Because there is no point, for example, at financial resources to a place where there is enough financial resources. So maybe there is social support needed. So, but for example, what could be done and by whom? Then first, maybe I start from the person, him or herself. There is this responsibility for taking care of own well-being, and it seems that leaders are really aware of that also, and this kind of well-being could be taken care of by, for example, keeping private and working life separated if it's the way for you, then having those meaningful relationships, social relationships, and it seems that it's essential to share leadership tasks inside of the school community if possible, and also recognize the need for training, for example, and seek out for that. Then when moving away from the person, him or herself, and thinking about the surroundings, then of course school community could offer social support and also participate in decision making, then it's easy, of course it's easier then to share also leadership tasks, for example.
Yes.
If school community is ready to take those also, then of course parents and guardians could collaborate more, and the responsibility for children's education and development could be shared between the home and school. Then for example the relationship with the superior, so that if we want that the superior is staying in the first kind of circle there surrounding the principal, then this relationship should be supportive and the support should be available when needed.
Yes.
Then if thinking about in a pre-service training that I have been a few times mentioning already, then it seems to play a great role also in leaders' well-being, because for example, if I'm thinking back of the first study, then the results showed that those taker-centered directors who had been going through leadership training, for example, were discovering faster from work, and also. The leaders who had been going through any in-service training at all in 2 years were experiencing lower stress. So that already shows something.
Yeah.
And And it seems that the school leaders, they recognize the importance of the in-service training. Mm. However, sometimes it seems that they don't have also time to participate there. Mm-hmm. So that would be maybe something for upper administrative level to think about. I don't know that would it be then on municipality level, for example, that that you make sure that principals have time resources to go and have that in-service training.
Yeah.
Then maybe for the training providers also. So of course it could be, it would be great if the training would be organized in cooperation with the leaders and taking into account their personal needs and the context where they work. Mm. And it seems that that they need really practical tools for really practical problems they face in schools. Mm. And also, as municipalities are different, so it seems that in bigger municipalities there is many principals, so they can have this kind of, they organize by themselves this kind of non-formal kind of meetings where they can just talk about what they face at school. Some principals said that they have pizza Fridays, for example, with other principals.
Yes.
But in smaller municipalities, if you're the only school principal there, then also this kind of meetings, official or non-official, those are not happening too often. So I heard them saying that that those trainings are really good for that also, just to have a chat during the coffee time or something like that. Mm. Yeah. And also I think that it's now, when the world is going that way, the school world, that we talk about more and more about shared leadership practices and distributed leadership, also internationally. And if you're thinking that it's more common in Finland also, that uniting smaller schools, and there is going to be comprehensive schools where there is that for the one principal it's not possible anymore to lead everybody because the amount of people they're working is huge. So I think that the principals themselves need training for implementing those shared leadership practices. And also training for teachers or the school community to be ready to take this kind of responsibility, leadership tasks and responsibilities is needed. So maybe even for a whole school community kind of. So, and then when moving out from the school and thinking about the whole society, then I see that it's important to keep up the dialogue about the importance of the schooling and also the importance or the role of school leaders, for example. So that is, I think that for every one of us, it's something to think about.
Hmm. Yeah, there is so many ways to support well-being.
Yeah, indeed.
Yeah, and it's nice to know that we in institute can offer some extra training for principalities.
Definitely you have a really really great role in their well-being, in overall and in school functioning and educational system.
Yeah, very interesting. A lot of interesting things have come up here. So is there something else you would like to talk about?
Yes, it's when I'm thinking about that 5 years journey that I have been kind of trying to open the door to educational leadership and the school context and there, and to see that what is going on with school leaders. Then I have to say that I have more questions and just ideas to work further than some concrete answers, as you have probably understood. So just at this point, I can conclude that there is no easy fix, one solution fits all kind of solutions for the challenges that exists, and those improvements should be made in cooperation between the different stakeholders and with leaders themselves, and in accordance with the leaders' personal needs and the context also. So maybe that would be something that I could conclude with that.
Maybe in future research.
Definitely, definitely. There is a lot of, and I see my own work as kind of pilot, you know, to check a bit that what kind of issues rise from there. So there is a lot of research to be done. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much for very interesting interview. We are very grateful that we got you to be interviewed, and congrats.
Thank you so much.
And thanks also to the audience. See you soon for the next Pohdimme yhdessä koulutusjohtajuutta episode.